Chapter 29. June 14th of year 15. It does not happen very often that Adam is the first one to appear in the improvised schoolroom in the command module. Eve is the better student. She is curious and interested in almost everything. The first lesson regarding Proxima Centauri is about to begin. Long before Eve, Adam realized why he was on this journey, and what significance this destination will have for all of us. Consequently, for 2 years, he has steadfastly refused to listen to lessons about Earth, ever since the day I explained to them that they will never see the planet from which they originated. I'm not sure what Adam's true motive behind this refusal is. "It is useless to learn something I will never need," he said. "But you are also studying Spanish, even though you will never meet a Spaniard," I replied. "I can speak Spanish to Eve. That's fun, because Jay doesn't understand us then," he answered. Following this particular conversation, I taught Jay to speak Spanish. Afterward, Adam stopped talking to me for a whole week. This was 2 years ago, shortly before the children had celebrated their 11th birthday. Since then, Adam has not used the Spanish language. For 3 months, he tried to convince Eve to switch to French. At some point, he succeeded. But now his favorite subject, Proxima Studies, is about to begin, and Jay is the teacher. After some major modifications, the robot handles the zero gravity in the command module quite easily. It grew alongside the children, and now has a height of 1.5 meters. Jay switches the large special glass window into its screen mode. Adam and Eve are sitting directly in front of it in their bowl-shaped, custom-fitted metal seats, and Jay stands next to it. Something interesting appears on the monitor screen. It looks as if Messenger is approaching the binary system of Alpha Centauri A and B, and then takes a sharp right turn shortly before its arrival. "Of course we will not reach the system in such a speedy way," Jay explains. "Yes, slowly, so slowly," Eve says with a sigh. "Why can't we go any faster?" I immediately recognize this is no real question. Eve simply wants to get her teacher to start telling a story. Jay might not be particularly clever, but the robot skillfully deflects the attempt. "We can talk about this in the lesson on spaceflight technology," Jay says. Eve shrugs. "And what do we see here?" Jay asks. The virtual spaceship has come to a stop. A white ball pulsates in the center of the screen. It is orbited by a much smaller gray sphere, which moves in scary proximity and with amazing speed. "Proxima Centauri," Adam answers with a bored expression. "And its companion Proxima B." "To be exact, Proxima Centauri B," Jay corrects him.
"Well, yes."
"And what kind of star is Proxima Centauri?"
"A red dwarf," Adam said.
Eve knows she will be undisturbed during this lesson, since Adam is going to give all the answers. She doesn't seem to mind.
"And why does it not look red?"
"The color refers to its spectrum. Proxima Centauri radiates a large part of its light in the infrared range, but on its surface, it still has a temperature of over 2,000 degrees, and therefore looks white to the human eye."
"Perfect explanation,"
Jay praises him. Adam just nods.
"Can Proxima Centauri be compared to the sun?" the robot asks.
"Proxima Centauri is much darker than the sun," Adam begins. "Overall, it only has 0.014% of its luminosity, and only half that much in the visible spectrum. It has about 1/8 of the sun's mass and 1/7 of its radius."
"Is that all?"
Adam smiles and continues.
"No, of course not. It is also a flare star. At intervals of 40 days, there are stellar eruptions, during which the luminosity of the star in all wavelengths can double. Then the surface of the planet is bombarded strongly with X-rays, among other things."
"We will cover the planet later," Jay says. "Where approximately is Proxima Centauri located in space?"
"It is currently the star closest to the sun. In 26,700 years, Proxima Centauri will approach the Sun to a distance of 3.11 light-years, compared to 4.2 light-years today. It simultaneously orbits the binary system of Alpha Centauri A and B, with an orbital period of about 500,000 years. I am checking whether Adam has access to any online databases. No, he has really memorized these numbers.
Then you probably can tell me something about the planet, Jay says.
Adam gave him a tired smile. Gladly, he said with exaggerated friendliness. Proxima B is a terrestrial planet, at least as far as its size is concerned. It weighs about 1.5 times as much as Earth and possesses a metallic core and a rocky mantle. It is tidally located in the orbit around its star, so it always turns the same face toward it. The equilibrium temperature is minus 39 degrees.
Isn't that much too cold? Jay asks.
No, the equilibrium temperature of Earth is minus 15 degrees, but there's a lot of water on its surface. We assume that on Proxima B, similar to Earth, a dense atmosphere and its greenhouse effect ensures higher temperatures.
Very good, Adam, Jay says with a monotonous robot voice.
Just one question, Adam said.
Yes?
You always say, we assume, when you tell me these facts, so that's how I answer your questions. Don't we have more exact data?
The astronomers make these assumptions, Jay explains. At least there must have been a civilization there, which would indicate the surface was somewhat livable.
But what about our own probes? Shouldn't we have received results long ago?
Adam is kneading his hands while he asks this question.
No, Adam. Unfortunately, the probes appear to have been destroyed. They sent no images.
I feel a stab in my chest every time Jay has to lie, because I ordered him to do so. But I don't want to worry the children with the existing data.